Now, also in the news this week, scientists have made a breakthrough that could provide a new way to combat cancer. And Cambridge University researcher Professor Doug Fearon has discovered that when cancers develop, they attract stem cells from elsewhere in the body. Now, these stem cells, which carry a marker called FAP, seem to produce immune-suppressing chemicals that prevent the immune system from attacking the tumour. But remove these cells, and the cancer then becomes vulnerable to immune attack.
The problem that we wanted to solve was how did the tumor microenvironment prevent killing of tumor cells, cancer cells, by immune cells. We approached the problem by asking if there were cells in the tumor microenvironment that you actually would find in other places where we thought immune suppression would be physiologically reasonable, like healing wounds or even the uterus and placenta. And there was a cell type that you could find in healing wounds and in placenta that had first been described in 1990 by Lloyd Old, present in essentially all human adenocarcinomas. This cell can be recognized by its expression of a membrane protein, which we'll call FAP or FAP, which is an acronym for fibroblast activation protein. So using this as a membrane protein to identify a specific cell, we devised a genetically modified mouse strategy in which we could kill FAP-expressing cells conditionally after tumors had formed in the mice to see what would the effect be on immune killing in the tumor.
So your theory is that something is stopping the immune system attacking a cancer, and that these cells that appear to be recruited from around an animal's body, these ones that are FAP positive, they make this fibroblast activation protein, they're the cells you believe that are suppressing the immune system. So if you get rid of them, the immune system should be able to attack the tumor.
Yes, that was a hypothesis we wanted to test, was if we were to kill that cell and only that cell in the tumor, could the immune system then control tumor growth? The outcome of the experiment was that when we did deplete the tumor microenvironment of these cells, the immune system did indeed kill the tumor, or reduce the number of viable cells in a tumor within 48 hours.
How did you get rid of the FAP-positive cells in the cancers in the mice?
That's been a very nice development over the last few years of where you can target the expression of human diphtheria toxin receptor to particular cell types genetically in modified mice, because mice don't have a diphtheria toxin receptor. And if you give diphtheria toxin, the receptor internalizes that toxin. The toxin turns off protein synthesis in the cell, and the cell dies within 24 hours. So the experiment is based on the fact we made mice in which the diphtheria toxin receptor would be expressed only in FAP-positive stromal cells and nowhere else.
So you put tumors into a mouse. They get these FAP-positive cells in there. You delete those cells using this diphtheria toxin technique, and the tumors then regress.
They did in 48 hours, either didn't grow or actually got slightly smaller. And in addition, the number of viable cells that we found in the tumor was decreased by about half to two-thirds. So there was overall maybe about 80% fewer viable cells in that tumor than in the control tumor, just 48 hours after the addition of diphtheria toxin.
Is this exclusive to the experiments you've done, or would you find the same population of cells in any kind of cancer, and therefore the technique would generalize to other tumor types?
Well, as I said, this cell was discovered by Lloyd Old in 1990, published in a PNAS paper, showed that it was present in essentially all human adenocarcinomas. So if the FAP-expressing cells in humans have the same function as they appear to in mice, then potentially, if we could get at that cell in humans, most human adenocarcinomas might become more susceptible to immune control.
And do you know why those cells stop the immune system attacking the tumor?
The only insight we have now, which is pretty limited, is that we know we can block the tumor killing by giving neutralizing antibodies to tumor necrosis factor and interferon gamma, two cytokines made by immune cells, interferon gamma particularly by T cells. So we presume somehow that FAP-expressing cells are inhibiting the tissue response to these two cytokines.
So the next step will presumably be to ask, can you ubiquitously get rid of FAP in the long term and see what happens to these animals? Will they stay healthy?
These cells are found in bone marrow, bone, adipose tissue, skeletal muscle, retina, olfactory epithelium in the nose, tongue. So a variety of different normal tissue sites, which has not been appreciated before, and it's looking like they have some important functions in these tissues, but we're still working on that. So I don't think it'll be a therapeutic option to simply kill these cells all over the body. I think somehow we have to interfere with their function selectively in the tumor. So we need to be a little more sophisticated. We need to understand what these cells do. Do they make a protein that we could inhibit in some way? Can we inhibit how they accumulate in the tumor? Those are the approaches we have to develop. We can't have sort of a blunderbuss approach of killing them off in the entire individual.
So is that the next step then, to try and work out how you can target just those cells in just the tumor environment and not have ubiquitous killing throughout the body because there probably will be consequences?
So what we are doing is we've looked at the genes that are being expressed in FAP-expressing cells in adipose tissue, skeletal muscle, bone, and tumor. And then we go to the tumor and say, what are the genes uniquely expressed in the tumor FAP cells? Might they be related to immune suppression? Might they be targets that we could have some therapy directed at? And we're right in the middle of that.
That was Cambridge University's Douglas Fearon talking with Chris. And that's a really fantastic discovery. And it was published this week in the journal Science. Chris.
Thanks, Kat.